Okay. Hopefully you're wrapping up your food and having great conversations. Okay, couple quick announcements here. We got our Unity Foundation's very own Lee Backus. He's going to be a part of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And they're going to be doing a lunch March 24th. It's going to be here. So you get to hear Lee Backus. He's also known as Mr. Baseball. Lee, why don't you raise your hand so everyone knows who you are? Raise your hand. Stand up, Lee. Yeah. You heard it from Mr. Baseball. Next month, you guys have heard that Dr. Emerson Eggerich is coming. They do the Love and Respect Seminar. And this is definitely for everybody. You know, everyone hears it's a marriage seminar, but really, it's a communication seminar. How do men talk to women? How do women talk to men? So Emerson and Sarah Eggerich are coming up here. They're going to be doing that seminar, but next month for the Friday event, you're also going to get to hear him speak. So that's going to be fantastic. And we're doing a few things with that event. One is we're providing child care for young couples that may have children over at the YMCA. They just have to sign up. So if you know anyone that's thinking, I'd love to go to that, but who's going to watch my 8 kids or something like that? Kind of like Jared, he's got about 25 of them. So if you know anyone in that scenario, get them out of the house. You know, get them, help them get signed up. And also get them signed up for the marriage event. The prices go up here in a couple days, so you can go online and get them registered right away. And we can't manipulate that price. It's through the Love and Respect Seminar that price changes. So get as many people to go to that as you can. If you are looking for movie tickets, you know the Unity Foundation helps sponsor some movie tickets. You can get it for $2 a piece through the Unity Foundation. The next one coming up is God's Not Dead 2. We're supporting that, and so you can talk to Sarah afterwards. They're available at the door. And then if you're new here with the Unity Foundation, this is your first event, or you're not getting our updates, you can actually sign up at the table, put your email address down, and we can get you in contact with the right information. You can also see us on Facebook. We got a page that gets updated pretty regularly for that. With that, I'm going to start to talk about Jared. I kind of met Jared on Facebook. I reached out to him and just chatted with him real briefly. Said, hey, do you do any speaking events? I'd seen some of Jared's information. He put that out there about Dave Ramsey. He's going to talk about that. And Jared's got a great story, so I'm excited to introduce Jared Sebesta.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. I don't get that much anymore, so I appreciate that. Please, sit down. Just everybody, sit. Sit. Okay? Of course it would snow today, right? Right? In fact, I always got blamed for the bad weather. Blame Jared. That was kind of a thing. Blame Gabe today. Okay? We've had 2 70-degree days already, and the day that you bring in a washed-up weather guy to come speak at your event, it snows, okay? Just so you know, you could bring me in the middle of July, and it would snow at your event. That's a guarantee, okay? Thanks for having me. I get a chance to do a lot of speaking. I mostly speak to companies. I do a lot of nonprofits, some fundraisers. Every once in a while, I get to do a faith event like this, which I'm very happy to do because I get to talk about things that I normally can't talk about, right? Like Jesus and God and the Bible. Is that okay if I talk about those things today? Right? All right. This is going to go pretty well then. If you said no, I was like, I'm going to have to change my material here, okay? I did TV weather for 12 years. A lot of you may recognize me from Care 11. I was at Care 11 from 2010 till the middle of 2014. Been out of Care 11 now for about 2 years. And I got to say, 12 years of doing TV weather, the one thing I realized is that I'm a magnet for people saying really dumb things to me. I don't know why people insist on telling me stupid things. And the dumbest thing that people would say to me over and over again is this: I wish I could be wrong all the time and still get paid all that money. Okay? A few of you have told me that already here this afternoon. And you know who you are. Why do people tell me this? Why? Have you... Who said that? Because it's true. Oh, man. Have you ever wanted to crack somebody because they said something so dumb? Anybody? Raise your hand. I know this is kind of a churchy event. You, ma'am. Yes. Okay. Anybody else want to admit that? You know, somebody says something so dumb to you, right, that they come up to me and they're like, oh, I wish I could be wrong all the time. And then they kind of gut check me like it's the first time I've ever heard that. And you're like, yeah, you know, if I wasn't a Christian, I kind of want to crack you right now, right? Right? Has anybody actually cracked anybody because they've said or done something so stupid? Anybody want to admit that? Nobody wants to admit that. Yeah, this woman in back's like, oh, yeah, I've done it. I did my husband. Yeah, I did it. Okay? There was this one time this guy, he was just hammering me. He was just on me left and right. Oh, my gosh. A monkey could do your job. Like, how, why do they pay you? Blah, 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 blah. And I just about cracked this guy, and I was glad I didn't because my dad could have been hurt pretty bad. Okay? I get it everywhere. I get it everywhere. Like Gabe said, I have a lot of children. I'm married to a beautiful southern Minnesota gal, a little farm girl. We have 3 children, 5, 3, and 1. Okay, did anybody else do this? Everybody else? Anybody else? Okay. For those of you that are in the market, you know, you're younger, still going to build a family, I don't recommend this. Okay? Have children. Have lots of children. Space them out a little bit. Don't be a superhero. Okay? My wife and I are still trying to figure out why a child shows up at our door every 2 years. We missed that week in health class, apparently. Okay? But all I can tell you is this. This is where it starts getting a little awkward in here, okay? My wife and I have conceived a child every 22 months for the last 6 years. My baby just turned a year. So if you do the math, okay, right now we're on month 21. 21. Last night my wife was like, can I have a good night kiss? And I'm like, you know what? I think I'd rather not. You know, just can't be too careful. You know, I don't know why this keeps happening, but I think let's start there. Let's eliminate that, okay? I grew up in Montevideo, Minnesota. Anybody else from Montevideo? Anybody know where that is? A few of you? Okay, I'm kidding. I'm dying, okay? A few of you from Montevideo? Okay, I grew up there, graduated in 1997. Had a fascination for weather. Always had this crazy fascination for weather. I think it had something to do with the fact that I was raised in a trailer home. Okay, that did it. Okay, that was part of the problem. Every time the wind came up, I thought I was going to die. Okay, and it also combined with the fact that my mom was the complete opposite. Like, she was like the South Dakota, you know, gal, and you know, like trees are like waving back and forth, and she's like, "It's just a little wind. It's no big deal." I'm like, "I think we need to get out of here, Mama." I'm like 10 years old. Always had this fascination for weather. Went to Ridgewater College. Played basketball at Ridgewater College. By the way, a lot of people are asking me how tall I am. I'm 6'6", 6'7", with the hair. Okay. If you watch Carol Evan, I'm actually 2.5 Sven Sundgaards. He's very short. Okay, for the people that don't watch Carol Evan or know who Sven Sundgaard is, he's very, very short. Okay. I love short people, though. I married one. My wife is 5'5". Just for fun, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'll do it anyway. My wife's like, don't use that joke anymore, don't. Back when we would actually get the weather forecast correct, which was actually not very often, I would go back in the weather center and I would take Sven and I would just throw him up in the air. And I'd hold them like that. My wife's like, don't ever say that. Like, they're going to think you don't like Sven. No, I love Sven. We're friends. I played basketball, went to the University of North Dakota. Oh, really? A couple of you been here? All right, Fighting Sioux fans, great. Nobody here went to NDSU, did they? All right, good. Oh, okay, a couple of you. It's okay. Went to the University of North Dakota, played basketball up there, and just had a phenomenal array of experiences through my, you know, teens and early 20s. And that's where I became a Christian. I wasn't really raised in a Christian household. My mom and my dad were divorced when I was real young. My dad spent most of my upbringing out in Wyoming, Colorado. My mom's a great person, but wouldn't be considered living in a Christian household. My brother's 10 years older than me. He was out of the house by the time I was, you know, 8, 9 years old. Lifetime alcoholic. Has been in and out of prison most of his life. Just got out of prison. Now is at a Salvation Army in St. Paul. A lot of people don't know that stuff. You know, they saw me at Care 11. They just assume I come from this elite family. Not the case, which is neither here nor there. It's all part of my story and part of everybody's journey. But wasn't raised in a Christian household. Played basketball. Was a senior, so I'm 22, 23 years old. And I just vividly remember getting done with practice. And one of my teammates, his name's Corey Shepley, he's from New Prague. He was one of our guards. And he wrote on the marker board, Bible study. My place, 7 o'clock. Interesting. Okay. I mean, I didn't even think anything of it. I asked one of my teammates, I said, I think I asked him or he told me, he's like, yeah, I'm going over to Corey's tonight. I'm like, for that Bible study? That's weird. And so for some reason I went. Like, bizarre. It wasn't like, oh man, I'm just like, I'm seeking something different. I don't feel fulfilled. I feel lost in life. None of that. None of that. Decided to go to this Bible study, and I remember us talking about what it is to be a Christian at this very first Bible study. And I remember thinking, well, a Christian is when you believe in God and you try to be a good person, and you know, you may or may not go to heaven. Pretty much everybody goes to heaven anyway, right? And my teammate, I remember him describing to me, like, being a Christian is where you submit your life to Jesus and you accept his forgiveness and you live for him with him living inside of you. And I was just absolutely floored. I was like, what? It was just, I didn't get it, but I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. And so the next week I went back. And the next week I went back. And I was like, this is awesome. You know, and I remember going back, and I was dating a volleyball player at the time. I was like, "You should hear what we're talking about." Like, it kind of blew my mind. And a lot of people, when they become a Christian, they become saved. You know, they have kind of this very, you know, emotional type of experience, right? Really didn't have that. I really can't pinpoint when it was that I was, you know, quote unquote saved. But I can remember the very first time I ever experienced God's conviction. Because up until this point, I'm 23 years old. I live with zero conviction. I just did whatever I want, right? I remember we were having practice, and I was one of these guys where I swore like a sailor. I still do that, but I do it under my breath, and I'm told that's okay. Is that okay, Pastor? Not okay? Okay, I'll have to revisit that one, okay? That was just like my daily vocabulary, right? And I remember we were doing a drill in practice. I probably turned the ball over or did something dumb. And I just remember like screaming the Lord's name in vain, which I had done tens if not hundreds of thousands of times in my life up until that point. And I remember I was literally in a full sprint and I stopped. And I just remember looking up at the wall in the gym and I was like, holy moly. Something struck me. And I think that was the very first time I ever experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I was just like, whoa. I'm like, that, I can look back and I'm like, that's the point that I was saved. I knew at that point I was. Little tiny baby Christian, right? Now I'm on the basketball team. People are seeing me like, this guy's changing. And people are asking me to share my testimony. And I'm like, what's a testimony? And my buddy Corey had to say, "Oh, a testimony is where you explain like how you became a Christian." I'm like, "All right," you know. So I remember, like, you know, I've probably been a Christian for maybe a month or two, and people are asking me to share my faith. And I can't even imagine what that talk sounded like. I'm sure it was just gibberish, but to me, it made complete sense. I took an internship at KBJR TV in Duluth. I was so focused on basketball, I really wasn't even thinking about my career. My advisor at the time was like, you should probably think about what you're going to do after college. And I was like, oh, huh, there's life after college? Huh. And I really wasn't into working at a weather service, even though I loved weather. And so out of the blue, I took an internship at KBJR, and it's down in Canal Park. If you go to Duluth, right down there in Canal Park, right on Lake Street, down there by Grandma's and the Lift Bridge, there's that TV station right on the corner. That's KBJR. And I remember seeing a live newscast for the very first time, and I was like, this is awesome. They're just talking. They're talking on live TV, and they're paying them. This is incredible. I can do that. I have no marketable skills, but I can talk. I can do that. So I did. I made a horrible resume tape after that, got my first job at KDLT-TV in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Okay, just this little tiny market, no money, making $4.50 an hour. We had no live truck. Most stations have live trucks. I know that's fairly common knowledge. You know what I mean? They have live trucks and satellite trucks. They had no live truck. If we ever wanted to go live, we would do this. It'd be snowing. They're like, Jerry, we're going to have you live. And I'm like, how are you going to do that? We don't have a live truck. Well, we're going to string a cable. True story. We're going to string a cable out the back door and have you go live from the parking lot. So I had to look like a moron on TV and be like, we're live in Sioux Falls. And my buddies are like, you're not live. I see your car in the background. That was the start of my TV career. I come from very humble beginnings. Meanwhile, I met my wife there, started dating this cute little southern Minnesota gal. Long story. I wish I could go into the story, but I don't think we'll have time. But we got married, engaged. At that time, I was up for a job at Carol Levitt. I was actually up for Sven Sundgaard's job back in 2005. I was the runner-up for that job. Didn't get it. Was crushed. Hung in there. Ended up getting a job in Phoenix, Arizona. Got married all within 3 months. Wife and I started our quest there, married life, Phoenix, Arizona, huge market, new state, away from family, great life. And then in 2010, got my call to Care 11, started it there, took over for weekends for Sven in 2011, and my career started to take off, started to just take off. And on May 14th of 2014, I called an emergency meeting with my boss. And I said, I think it's time for us to chat. And they were like, sweet, we'll meet tomorrow. Looking forward to it. And so I have this meeting, glass, it's the glass-encased office upstairs, GM's office with my news director. And we had a little bit of small talk, and we sat down, and my news director says, so, what's going on? And I said, well, this is in May 15th. I said, my contract's coming up in 6 weeks, right? Because they hadn't approached me. My contract's coming up. They hadn't approached me yet. And I was like, you're aware that my contract's kind of coming up, right? Oh, yeah. Very aware of that. I said, I don't know if you know this, but we put our house up for sale last week. We had a house in Maple Grove. I go, we put our house up for sale, sold over the weekend. We just signed a contract on that house yesterday. We close in 3 weeks. Huh. Congratulations. We didn't know that. And I said, at the end of my contract, we're going to resign, and my wife and I are going to move to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That's about what it sounded like in that room. Okay. And my GM gets this weird look on his face, and he sits back in his chair, and he asks me a one-word question. What do you think that question was? Why? Why? So I explained to him why. I said, I love working here. I love, dude, being at Care 11. I'm at the cream of the crop, man. Not only am I in the Twin Cities, I'm not working at Fox 9, because nobody here watches Fox 9, right? Right? Nobody here watches WCCO, right? You do? He also made fun of me earlier today, and he watches WCCO. Okay, definitely nobody watches Dave Dahl's Channel 5. Nobody watches that horrible station, right? Right? I'm at Care 11, man. Belinda Jensen, Eric Perkins, Julie Nelson, Randy Shaver, Bob. Historic. 32 years old. I got there at 31. I'm 35, 36 at the time. What are you doing? I say, I love it. But I'm working nights, weekends, holidays. I go, the greatest thing about this is that my career is taking off. The problem is that my career is taking off. I go, I'm starting to have this humongous litter of children. I feel the pull to want to be with them more. I was quickly becoming the guy that when there was weekend events, there was birthday parties, they didn't even ask me anymore because the answer was no. I had missed weddings. I missed my brother and sister-in-law's wedding because it was in May, and it sweeps in May. And heaven forbid your weekend weather guy is off a day so he can go to his brother and sister-in-law's wedding. Okay? You know, Belinda and Sven love them to death, but they each got 51 and a half weeks of vacation a year. Okay? Guess who's filling in during that time? Me! And there was something about South Dakota. My wife and I left South Dakota. There was like this draw. There was like something about it, man. It was just this draw to go back. I said, we're acting on that call. So we're leaving. The very next day, word came out I was leaving Care 11. I thought everybody was going to say, see ya, sayonara. And I had all these people coming up to me, and they're like, you're leaving. Aren't you on Care 11? I heard you're leaving. Why? And so I'd have to explain to them, why? It's not a one-word answer. I'd explain to them all the things. And then either intentionally or unintentionally, I would say back to that person, I'd say, it's because that's what I want. That's the call on my life. What do you want? What's the call on your life? And you know the answer I get most of the time? I don't know. This blew my mind. I bet you 60 to 70% of people that I would come in contact during that six-week period after I was leaving Care 11 and people were asking me why, I'd say, it's because this is what I want. This is the call on my life. What's the call on your life? I would get, I don't know. I'm going to ask you three quick questions. The first question is this: what in the world do you want? Now, that's the question I give you in a secular term. Okay, when I go speak to companies in a secular environment, that's the question. Here's the real question: what is the call on your life? How does God want to use you? How does the Lord want to use you to expand and impact His kingdom? You need to think about and answer that question, meditate on it, and pray about it. That's one of the most important questions that you can answer. How in the world does he want to use you? Because leaving Care 11 didn't make any sense whatsoever, but there was a clear, clear call. Okay? Second question I ask people, are you getting closer to that, or are you getting farther away? Are you getting closer to that call, or are you getting farther away? Okay? People always say, like, oh, man, leaving Care 11. Oh, man, that must have been a hard decision. And I say, yeah, leaving was difficult. Leaving my identity, who I was, my, you know, the schedule, the people, the reputation of having Care 11 on my chest, leaving that, very difficult. Coming up to that decision, probably the most black and white decision I've ever come to. It was just clear as a bell. I think there's three times in my life where I was like, if the Lord's speaking to me, it's right now. If there is a clear and defined pull, it's right now. This is one of them. That was one of the three times. It would have been as if I'm like slapping God in the face to stay. Have you thought about that? Are you getting closer to that call, or are you getting farther away? Third question is this. I love this question because it intertwines a passion of mine. It intertwines what I do right now. By the way, I work for a company in Wilmer. This is so weird. I leave Care 11 to go to South Dakota, and I now live in Wilmer. Okay, something happened. Okay, I now work for a guy by the name of Ben Tages, Tages Financial Group, small independent financial firm. I've always had a shtick for personal finance. I actually wanted to talk about life and money while I worked at Care 11. They wouldn't let me. They're like, you stick to weather boy. Okay, you just talk about highs and lows, okay? Cold fronts, warm fronts, that's it, right? Rain, snow, you stick to that, okay? And I love this third question because it intertwines this life and this money thing and this call thing, okay? The third question is this. Do you have the power to execute your dream? Again, that's the secular question. The spiritual question, the faith question, do you have the power to chase after God's will and His call in your life? Do you have the power to do that? Are you in a position to do that? If He were to say, you go, you come here, kind of like what He did to me, you get out. Do you have the power to say, yes, I'm out, see ya? I have always seen that there is a direct correlation between how you manage your money and your ability to chase after God's call in your life. Okay, I'm going to say that again. How you manage or mismanage your money, not how much you make, okay, how you manage or mismanage that will have a direct correlation with as to the ability for you to chase after your dream or God's call in your life. Okay? There are five things I want to throw past you here. I want to make sure I'm on time. Okay. The very first one is this. You want the ability to do that, to say, go, get out of debt. Get out of debt. This is the one I'm like most passionate about. Okay, Gabe mentioned I'm a Dave Ramsey fan. Anybody heard of Dave Ramsey? Okay? Love this guy. Love this guy. Radio show host. Written books, right? He's like the anti-debt guy. He was the guy my pastor was trying to get us to look at while we lived in South Dakota. Never did. We go to Phoenix, get married, and our pastor's like, when you get down to Phoenix, get your butt in Financial Peace University. Get your butt in there. Did we? No. No. Instead, everybody's like, are you guys married? I noticed you're... I am married. Just got married. Are you renting an apartment? Yeah. Yeah, we are. Well, you can't do that. Like, what do you mean? They're like, well, you have to go buy a house. I was like, well, we don't have any money. And they're like, that's fine. That's fine. Just go. And we're like, okay. So we hired a mortgage broker, pre-approved, $430,000. We started looking at $300,000 homes, right? We have debt. We have $20,000 in debt. No money in the bank. We're not giving the way that I think that we should be giving. We're not really saving for retirement. We're looking at $330,000 homes. We found one we liked in Glendale, Arizona, 40 minutes west of downtown, which is where we both worked. My wife was a nurse at a hospital downtown. And one night, this is true, true story, Saturday night, midnight, wife's in bed. She's got to work a 13-hour shift. I'm off. And I'm like, something just doesn't feel right. Because I'm like, if we buy this house, will our cost of living go up or will it go down? I think it's going to go up. And so I went on a website, DaveRamsey.com. I'm like, I should look up that guy that my pastor kept talking about. And within a half an hour, I'm looking at his videos, I'm reading his blogs, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're broke. Why didn't somebody tell us that we were broke? Like, we don't buy this house. Are we insane? Next day, my wife comes home from work, and I'm like, I don't think we buy this house. I go, I think we get out of debt and go the other direction. She's like, let's go. I was like, we got 20 grand in debt. My student loans and her wedding ring. Had to have a wedding ring, apparently. Apparently, that's part of the deal. 20 grand in debt. We're doing this. 12 months, 1 year, we're going to knock this out in 1 year. 1 year into it, I'm like, no, 6 months. 6 months, we're going to do this. The next month into it, I'm like, next month, we're paying this off. We did. Christmas of 2007. Went debt-free, paid off my final student loan. Sally Mae, gone, 20 grand in debt, 3 months gone. Since then, never had a penny of debt besides a mortgage in almost 10 years. Okay? You want power to chase after God's will? Get out of debt. After the question of why are you leaving, they said, how are you leaving? You don't even have another job. You're walking into unemployment voluntarily. Your wife doesn't work. She's pregnant with your third kid. What the heck are you doing? How are you able to do that? Because we don't have any debt. There's no payments. You want to track back the power to walk into my boss's office on May 15th of 2014 and say, see ya! You could trace that back to Christmas of 2007, the second we paid off all of our debt. You want the power to chase after God's will and God's call? Get out of debt. Second one is this, save money. Wow! Duh! Save money. During the Great Recession, back in 2007, okay, Gannett Broadcasting is hacking entire departments every other day. A coworker of mine came up to me. He's like, what's going to happen? What if you get laid off? What are you going to do? I'm like, good. Oh, you can't say that. You can't say that. Yes, I can. I just did. You should be happy you have a job. I am happy I have a job. You should be happy that you work here. I am happy I work here. I don't have to work here. I work here because I want to. I have no debt. I got cash in the bank. If I get laid off, big deal. Big deal. Door closed. God shut it. Boom. I'm going to go on to the next thing. But instead, people are walking around buried in debt, no money in the bank. They're a slave to their job. They're a slave to a paycheck. Dude, I get a chance to get in front of companies. I was in front of one yesterday. This is true. One yesterday. And the CEO of the company called me months ago. He goes, my employees, they're all seasonal. They make tons of money. They're off half of the year, and they're all broke as a joke. Go give them a butt whooping. And I did. I went in there, and I was talking about, you don't have the audacity to be a slave to your employer. If you living paycheck to paycheck, you're a slave to your employer. I go, that's not fair to your employer. I go, that's not fair to your family. I just hammered these guys. And then the CEO was like, good job. I'm glad I didn't say that. Save money, get out of debt. Third one is this. Budget. Duh. True story. Friend of mine contacted me on Facebook a couple of months ago. He's like, Jared, need some help. I was like, dude, what's going on? Just horrible at life. I stink at life right now. Why? What's going on? I got no money. Got no money. It's a country song right away. You know? I was like, well, if you don't mind me asking, I go, how much money do you make? How much money do you make? Because I'm like, I know he was young, had a couple of kids. If he only makes 20 grand, he probably doesn't have any money. I make $77,000 a year, he tells me. Like, what in the world? Where is all your money? Oh, government's taking it. I was like, yep, Uncle Sam just found you. You're the only one paving roads out here, right? I go, that's bull. Give me another excuse. Oh, my kids. Kids are taking it all. I'm like, well, you had them. It's not their fault. We've all got kids. We've all got families, right? Give me another one. And I just dug, and I dug, and I dug. And finally, this guy's like, you know what, Jared? I don't have a stinking clue. I don't have a clue where my money is. I was like, well, I'd start there. He goes, let me guess. You're not on a budget, are you? No. Think I should get on one? Yes! If you don't budget, like in a group that's statistically speaking, less than 30% of you are actually on a budget. 70% of you are not. I tell people, if you would just get on a budget, you would feel like you got a 30% raise. It gives you power to chase after God's will. It'll revolutionize your marriage. I have people in my office, been married for 30 years. I'm going over a budget for the very first time. They're learning things about each other they didn't even know, and they've been married for 30 years. I didn't know you paid that bill. I didn't know you gave that much. Blows my mind. Blows my mind. That's the third one. Fourth one is this. Live on less than you make. Duh! I'm ripping through stuff here. You ready? Okay. Now, I'm a pretty cool guy. That goes without saying, right? Why are you laughing? Why is that so funny? Now, since I'm such a cool guy, you have to assume that I drive a pretty sweet ride. Right? Clearly, right? Why are you shaking your head? No. I got three kids. Of course I do. You know what I drive? Let me give you a hint. I drive the most pathetic car on the face of the planet. Anybody want to guess what that is? I haven't heard it yet. I'll give you a hint. It's basically a golf cart with doors. Prius! Okay? Is it Kaylee? Okay? Kaylee's 18 years old. You're a senior in high school. When I speak to high schools and I tell them I drive a Prius, they boo me out of the gym. Okay? I drive a 2006 piece of junk, mint green Toyota Prius. It's like the size of your, it's like the color of your shirt, Pastor. Okay? Not that that's bad. When I turned 16 years old, my mom flipped me the keys to an 87 Chevy Celebrity. Remember those cars? Okay. Now if you ever see one, you're like, oh my gosh, it's a Celebrity. I thought they were all dead. It's like a dinosaur, right? Like, oh. It literally blew up in 2002. I bought a 1996 Honda Accord for $6,000. This is back in 2002. I drove that stupid Honda until the beginning of last year. I drove that car for over 12 years. And the only reason I sold it is because back in 1996, they didn't come up with the technology of like clipping the car seats into the seat, right? They didn't invent that technology back then. The only way that you could put your kid in the car seat back then is that you would just set the car seat in the back seat and then just lap the seatbelt over the kid, right? Hellaciously unsafe. And I'm driving around, and my daughter, who's now three, she's like 3 months old, and I'm taking a corner, and I look back, and her car seat is at like a 60-degree angle. And she's like, blah, blah, blah. And then two of the four doors didn't open, but you never knew which two. Slightly unhandy. The door to get out, true story, the door to get out of the driver's side was a cable just dangling out of the door. Okay? Love that car. Love that car. Sold it. Upgraded to the Prius, baby. Okay? I didn't really want a Prius. I just wanted a car that was under 10 grand. I'm paying cash. I wanted to get good gas mileage, and I wanted it to be cheap to own and operate. Five cars fit that criteria. One of which happened to be a Prius. The green one came for sale. 9 grand. New Navi battery. Want it. I showed it to my wife. She's like, you don't want that car. That thing is ugly. I was like, no. That makes me want it more. Okay? Because if I'm not going to be cool, like if this is cool over here, like what's a cool car for me? Like what's a cool car? Hello. A Dodge Charger. Like there you go. A cool Escalade. Can you see me riding the kids around in an Escalade? Like that's over here. Clearly I'm not cut out for this side of the stage. So if I'm not going to be over there, I want to be as far away as I possibly can. Like this would be like VW bug territory. This is black Prius. This would be white Prius. This would be mint green Prius right here. There's nothing on the other side of green Prius. You know what? You know what? I love that Prius. You know why? It's cheap. It's paid for. To own and operate that car, $50 to $60 a month. Gas, insurance, maintenance. Do I look cool driving it? I do not. Do I love that car? Why? Yes, I love it. Why? Because it gives me power to chase after God's will. It doesn't even show up on my budget. It's laughable. It's laughable. So what are these four things? Get out of debt, save, budget, live on less than you make. If you do those four things, you're killing it. You're killing it. You're killing it. The fifth one is the icing on the cake. The fifth one is the icing on the cake. It's giving. Giving, giving, giving. Giving is the most important thing that you can do with your money. It's the most important thing that you can do with your money, okay? I love this idea of giving because it can infiltrate like every aspect of your life, including your work and your job. My hope is that you utilize giving as a platform to tell the world about your faith, okay? I think there are times to, yes, evangelize, share the gospel with people, do this at work, right? Isn't that why we're here? Okay? But when you live a lifestyle of giving, you do that. I had a couple in my office. They came to me struggling. Young couple, under 30, couple of kids. He owned like a small trucking company. She worked part-time, made good money, buried in debt. Come to me for help. I bring them in, gave them 2 hours of my time, put them on a budget, didn't charge them a cent. Okay? And they were so excited when they left. She sends me an email the next day. We're so excited. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us and not charging us. We're telling everybody we know about you, and hopefully you get some business out of this. And I said, let me tell you something. Thank you for the referrals. If we get some business, great. I don't care. When I went over their budget, the very first thing I have on a budget, by the way, they've never budgeted, the very first thing on my category list is giving. I said, do you currently give any money? We do not. I said, that's okay. I don't judge you. I would highly encourage that you give, even a little amount. Okay, this couple, from what I could tell, were not Christians. And I said, my hope, I go, if you truly want to repay me, I go, work the plan. Get out of debt. Start saving. I go, start giving. If you want to repay me, become prolific givers. Become prolific givers. What if this couple someday gets out of debt, they make more money, they somehow intersect with the Lord, and they become Christians, and they start a foundation, or they give money to help children, or poor people, or widows, right? Isn't that what we want? Do you believe that there are eternal rewards waiting for you in heaven someday? The Bible is very clear about that. If they do that, do you know who's going to have eternal rewards waiting for him? I am. Should that not be one of the most... Should that not drive us to give because of eternal treasures in heaven? If you don't know about that, read about it. It's very clear in the Bible. Very clear. What we do on earth, what we do with our time and our treasures and our talents, has a humongous impact on eternity. So for me, I was like, I don't want your money. I don't want your referrals. We'll take them, but I don't want them. You become prolific givers. Okay, I'll leave you with kind of these points here when it comes to your faith and your work. Okay, make your work and your job and your career a platform of giving. I don't care what business you are in. Make it about giving so much value to your clients or your customers or the people that you serve or whatever product it is that they are blown away. That they're blown away. There's like, wow, there is something different about that company. There's something different about that gentleman or that gal that I work with today at that company. Holy mackerel. You want to share your faith at work? Blow people away with your style of giving. I didn't share Jesus with that couple. I probably could have. Perhaps I should have. I didn't feel that prompting. But my way of sharing my faith to that couple was to give them tremendous value and say, at the very least, I don't want your money. You just go and work the plan and become givers. Don't give the money to me. Give it to somebody else. Let your work and your career and your job, your business, become a platform of giving. Okay? Secondly, this is something you're not going to hear a lot. I suggest that you keep your faith in the closet. Keep it in the closet. Keep it quiet. What do you mean by that? I thought we were supposed to be the light of the world and the Great Commission and yada, blah, 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 blah. And hand out tracts and tell people about Jesus and make sure everybody's saved, right? Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Yeah! What I'm suggesting, you keep your faith quiet. What do I mean by that? Here's a story for you, quickly. One of the biggest events I ever did at Care 11 was Gillette Children's Hospital. They wanted me to host a gala. I didn't even know Gillette Children's Hospital existed until they approached me. I did the event. Howie Mandel was there. I met celebrities. I got to hang out with people backstage. Huge event. Care 11 cameras are there. I'm showing on the 10 o'clock news. Giving of my time. Right? And look at Jared. He was at Gillette Children's Hospital. Oh, gosh. Everybody give Jared a big round of applause. Okay? Do you know how much I gave of myself to do that event? Squat. I didn't even give them my time. They were paying me to be there. Care 11 gave me the night off to go do that event. I didn't give anything. And I took all the praise. Now what I love about my job, is that on Monday mornings we sit down and we pray. We pray for the people in our company. We pray for their families. We pray for our clients. We bring up needs of clients. They do not know that we do that. They don't know that we do that. We don't put crosses in our logos. There's nothing wrong with that. We don't put scripture in our mission statement. Okay? There's plenty. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. There is a financial company in Wilmer that does all that. They try to over-Christianize you. That's what we feel. You know, which again, whatever. What I'm suggesting is that what people see out there, what people see of you, is only a tiny fraction of your faith. That's only a tiny, tiny fraction of your faith. I did a terrible job at this at Care 11. Okay? I would consider me expanding God's kingdom while I was in TV, I give it an F. I was more concerned about doing the events like Gillette and getting all the praise and all the glory. And now I live in Wilmer, which, by the way, most people that watch me at Care 11, they couldn't even tell you where I live right now. They certainly couldn't tell you what I do. In fact, I'm going to meet with my family next weekend because it's Easter. Half my family will be like, what do you do? You work in a financial office. Like, what do you, like, you're not an advisor. Like, what do you do? They don't even know what I do. I have a very, very, very low-profile job right now compared to my high-profile job at Care 11. But I look at our nature of giving and my style of giving now. It's all behind closed doors. It's all behind closed doors. At Care 11, it was in front of everybody. Make sure that your faith, make sure that 99% of your faith is behind closed doors. And that 1% that the people actually see, your customers see, is a phenomenal 1%. It was flipped when I was at Care 11. Does that make sense? Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. Without, you know, you remember there's that, you know, Jesus probably picked up like a vine, you know, a vine and just said, this vine is trying to produce fruit and it's not even connected to the vine. That's crazy. That's crazy. Lastly, I'll leave you with this and then we got to get out of here. Yep. Always be flexible for God throughout your day. Always be flexible. I think as business owners, right, we're at work, we're on a time schedule, we have meetings, right, and you get so rigid with your schedule, what I'm suggesting is that you budget in time for God to use you. There was it was my birthday. It was last November. I was working that day, crazy busy, had a billion things on my plate. Our secretary comes back to my office in Wilmer and says, hey, we've got a gal up front, she wants to talk to you. And so I went up front. It was this middle-aged lady. She looked just kind of like a little haggard. She had bags under her eyes. She was selling advertising for a very small publication in the area. Now, I'm in charge of the marketing campaign at Tejas Financial, so I was the person to talk to. I could tell you right off the bat, we're not going to buy your stuff, but let's chat anyway. We talked for 90 minutes. 90 minutes. Within 5 minutes, she starts telling me about how she just got divorced. She just talks about how she's unhappy with her job. We were talking about the end times, okay? We were talking about the gospel, Jesus, faith, me leaving Care 11, blah, 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 blah. And finally, at the end of this meeting, I was like, so are you going to pitch me something, right? Like, this is the worst sales pitch ever, right? I believe that meeting was purely divine. It was exactly what she needed. Since then, she's reached out to me. We're now friends on Facebook. We stay in contact. She's like, I needed that day. Had I not allowed time for that meeting, I would have said, you know what, tell her thanks, but no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. I got too much stuff on my plate. How many opportunities do you think have come and gone where there is a divine appointment, where God wants to use you at work, through your business, right? And you're like, too busy. So, some things to think about. Always be flexible for God. Keep your faith quiet. Keep it quiet. I don't mean that literally. I'm just saying be connected to the vine. So when people actually see your faith come in action, boy, they are seeing the real deal. Don't be like a hollow Christian like I was at Care 11. Make your work and your job and your career a platform for giving. Okay? Think about those five keys to living the dream. Be out of debt, save, get out of debt, save, budget, live on less you make, give. Think about those three questions. Okay? Do you have the power to chase after God's will? Are you in a position right now to say go, to say yes if God says go? What if he said right now, I want to send you to China to go be a missionary, right? He could do that. Could you go? Remember that second question? Are you getting closer to that or farther away? And what's that first question? The most important question. What do you want? What's God's will? We're out of time. Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you for listening. You guys are a great crowd. I appreciate it so much. We'll end it right there. Thank you much.
Thanks for coming. Please get your friends connected and ready for the Love and Respect seminar next month. That's going to be great. Thanks again, Jared. Mm-hmm.